Welcome back to the Dungeon Master's Block, the place where we come to talk about the Dungeon Master, the most important person in the game. With every conversation, we hope to inspire as many as possible to keep on Dungeon Mastering.
And I'm one of your hosts, DM Neil, aka Jote Maniac. But I am not alone today, because with me is...
your other host, DM Derek, with no AKA yet.
We will work on it, and we will need to work on it, especially because, as you heard, I brought in a new host, and I have also, in the span of this Zoom call, figured out, as with other previous hosts, when we meet in person, I will be baffled at the size that you are, because I am not that size. This happened every time I meet someone in Zoom. I'm like, you know, in hindsight, I couldn't tell how tall you were.
Yeah, a lot of people have given me that feedback when they meet me in real life. Some local podcasters that I've met up with that have all said, wow, you're very tall. I get that a lot. I don't play basketball, though, so not very well anyway.
No, it's all right. Neither do I. Surprise. But you get to do something that has not been done in a little while, because we have an iTunes review.
We do. Okay, a 5-star review coming in hot from Not Stirred 12. Fun, but also rich with value. Over the last 10 weeks, I've binged this whole podcast. Parentheses, am I okay? Nope. Close parentheses, in preparation for running my first game, and it has filled me with so many fun ideas. Wow. First of all, congratulations, NotStirred 12, on binging this whole show, but secondly, congratulations on starting your first game. That's so exciting. I remember my first game like it was yesterday. I'm sure Neil does too. So please let us know how your first game has gone, if you've done it already, and if not, you know, hit us up when it does, because we want to hear about it.
I would say to you, and anyone listening, this is your quick piece of advice, take more notes about that game.
Correct.
You will want them. I don't have them. To the point where I tracked down through Noble Knight. Huge shout out to them. It's a great place to get stuff that you have lost, forgotten, been thrown away. I tracked down the thing I know I used for the first game I ever ran in third edition, which you can hear about on How Not to DM, which is exactly where you came from. I realize I've told this story to you specifically, which is really funny to me. But dear patrons, if you head over to Patreon at any tier, you will be able to hear the latest installment of Clear Agency, the actual play that I did some time ago and have re-edited and have been pushing out through the Patreon.
Digitally remastered.
Yeah, kinda. It needed it.
All right. And now let's head to the meat.
I'm starving. We ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for 3 stinking days.
Yeah. Why can't we have some meat?
The plate meat's back on the menu, boys.
So today for the meat, we have yet another special guest. Someone who is after my own heart for many reasons. And we have Andy, the owner of We Geek Together, the store that currently holds the Guinness World Record for the largest D&D game. Andy, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you. Hello.
I mean, that is, as you said, that is high praise, but I mean, high praise because of what I believe is an insurmountable amount of effort to accomplish such a task.
A lot of work went into it, and but I appreciate you having us on today.
Absolutely. So as, dear listener, as you know, we have a short interview section, and we'll kick it off with my favorite open-ended question of, can you tell us a little bit about yourself that you think our listeners would be interested in?
Yeah, so like you said, I own a game store in Provo called Geek Together, and I like to call it a gaming tavern because we have aesthetically decorated it to look like a medieval tavern, and we cater a lot to the TTRPG crowd. And that was one of the big motivations behind setting the world record for the biggest game of D&D ever played, because I really wanted our name to be someone people actually knew was serious about TTRPGs. Like, we really care about it. We want to support the community. We want to do some crazy things. And what better way than hosting a world record?
As previously mentioned, no small feat. Anytime you see it on TV, they definitely make it seem much easier than it is in real life.
There's a, yeah, the amount of, I guess we'll talk about that too, but there's so much work that goes into it.
Yeah. So Andy, is there anything you are currently working on with the caveat of that you can tell us about, knowing that there's, you know, NDAs and stuff all the time in the industry?
So yes, we are doing something amazing for the Dead Wars. And this is a brand new announcement. We've just announced this on our stuff, but not only are we going to play the biggest game in person, but we are going to be also running the biggest remote play game that's ever been played across the world. So we are sending out packets to any player, any dungeon master, any local game store who run an adventure called Running Supplies. Anybody around the world can run supplies to the players playing the game. And during that game, Friday and Saturday, if your group completes that mission, somebody at some table is going to get the supplies that you ran to them. You will be able to affect and change the game. So even if you can't make it for this event, this is a great way for you to support the Dead Wars.
Mm. I'm sure we'll throw the links in the episode description if people are interested in going and downloading those packets and playing at home themselves.
I was pointing, as I do almost every time. It doesn't help you, but I point down to the show notes where they inevitably are, because they're not going to be above you. But imagine, if you will, I am vigorously pointing to said show notes.
And these packets are free. Anyone can run them. And we are working with local game stores around the world. And even if your local game store hasn't heard about it, you can take this packet to them and say, hey, let us use the table for free. And it will help support local game stores. It'll help support this, and it won't cost you a penny, but it will be a great way to help in this huge game that we're playing.
And the plan is to count those people as well who are helping out running the supplies in the total record, right?
Yeah, so we'll be able to count those people in the record, and it'll be a separate section for attendees and for remote play. You'll also be able to take a photo of your group and submit it in. So we'll have photos of all the different groups, and even on our live stream, it should be appearing when you finish your game. You'll see your photo of your group. And we'll have it on our website too, so you can see people across the world all coming together on this game.
It's going to be so fun.
Well, yeah, there will definitely be links to the show notes, and the more links we have, and obviously social media will be pushing this out, because anybody can join, which is super nice. So for our surprise question today, if you were a dragon, like, boom, done, you are a dragon right now.
I'm a dragon.
Okay, what would you hoard?
I love miniatures. I would absolutely. I mean, I already do hoard miniatures. I have a gross collection already of unpainted, but it, like, just the idea of having shelves and shelves and shelves, like a whole huge warehouse full of miniatures, table set up for me to play any games. That is a dream of mine. That's what I would hoard.
That's a good answer.
I like it. Derek, I don't think I've ever, I don't think you've been on when that particular question has been asked.
No. So it's my turn. I think I'd hoard books, TTRPG books, but also all of the other books too. I just love looking at books. Like, as a kid, we'd go to the library a lot, and I'd get books from my school library a lot. And I just love flipping through books and looking at pictures and then, you know, maybe reading them eventually. But yeah, TTRPG books, picture books, sci-fi fantasy books, you know, those like eyewitness books that were just like about random different topics. I'd hoard those things, books.
What would I hoard today? I'm trying to think of like, what is the one thing that I always look for that I don't have? So I think I'd just hoard energy drinks. That way I don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't have to go to the store. It just feels like an inconvenience, because like, in one hand, I don't want to just have them all over. Well, I guess I do now that I've said I want to hoard them. So, yep, there you go.
You'd have just a cave to hoard them in, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Any flavor, any brand, I'm ready.
I think that's really why we like to have the man cave, is we just want to live the fantasy of being a dragon and having our hoard and our space. Like, I'm going to, in my basement, I'm going to have all my miniatures. Your basement, you're going to have all these books. You're going to have mini fridges with, like, yeah, I think that's why we adore the vision of, like, our own little.
It's so much more. So now that you mention it, because every scenario has a very strong element of don't touch that. Like, no, don't touch that. So it is very much the dragon horde of, like, well, no, I mean, like, hold on, though. I only have, like, a couple more of those, that brand. So hold on, don't touch that. Wait, hold up. That's the first edition. That maker, hey, don't touch that. Hold on. I'm not done painting. That's freshly, don't touch that. Yeah. So, yeah, Man Cave definitely has some strong don't touch that vibes.
Someday.
That's funny.
So now we can jump into the main topic at hand. And, I mean, Derek and I beforehand had quite the discussion of, like, where do you even start? And that ended up being the first most valid question of, like, where does an idea, like, running a game at this scale, nonetheless, running a game at the scale of breaking a world record, like, where does that seed plant get planted for you? Like, how does that idea say, you know what, that's a thing, that's, we're gonna do that?
So I didn't invent epics have been a thing. But the idea of doing an epic on such a large scale, and for people who don't know epics are specifically D&D adventures that you play at multiple tables, that either the tables can affect each other or you're getting scored, or, like, there it is meant to be played with multiple tables, pretty much. So that's not really a new idea, but the idea of what if we took something like that, but did a... like a Battle of Helm's Deep or Minas Tirith. Like, let's do a full-on war scenario. And I'm a war gamer. Like, I've loved miniature, and maybe that's why I love miniatures. But I love playing war scenarios, but it's always like one, or, you know, it's two opponents or four opponents at the most. But the idea of having thousands of people all playing together on a battlefield just sounds so fun. So that's kind of the idea of the Dead Wars. And it was just a silly dream until I opened up a game store, and then I realized, wow, no, this is actually very possible with the gifts, the lucky nature of opening a game store in a mall, in a covered mall, that was very open to me hosting an event in their mall for that.
So good. This is, like you said, yeah, in the very, very earliest days, like, it's one of, like, the reasons, like, the third party that existed around first edition was called the Judges Guild. I mean, it was, you were scored, like, you all joined in a giant convention center room, and these things still happen, certainly, but you're all going to the same goal, and someone comes over the, you know, the loudspeaker to say, ah, this thing happens, prepare yourselves. And having those down to the small scale, I remember when it was just D&D Next, and my players and I went to our local store, and it was three tables all doing the Vault of the Dracolich together at the same time, and then eventually fighting it. That is also where I learned, if I go with my players, I am in charge, and I didn't enjoy that. I was like, I specifically went to be a player so that I was not in charge. And they were like, okay, who's the leader of the group? And, like, all of them look at me. I was all, no.
Don't look at me.
Oh, okay, I'm in charge. But yeah, so these things have certainly been around.
I actually had the privilege of running a table at last year's Dead Wars event, and I saw Andy before and during and after, and the amount of sleep he got was not very much. I'm sure he'll tell us about that. But the scale of the event was just, like you said, the scale being that much larger than an epic in Adventures League was just incredible. Like, you had whole wings of this mall all chanting together. You know, I was running a table that was defending the wall as part of, like, the city, right? And so everyone just starts chanting, wall, wall, wall. And I don't know, I'd never been in a scenario like that other than a sporting event where everyone is chanting the same thing together. And it had a very similar effect of, you know, adrenaline and that kind of thing. So yeah, the scale, you know, that Andy was dreaming up long ago when it came to fruition really paid off. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the important things about the discussion is, like, taking a group and going to your local store may or may not work for you and your group. Because I went to several stores I had a few friends that, like, moved here, were interested in D&D, didn't know much, but they're very uncomfortable going to a store because they're like, I just don't know anything. And I was like, that's fine, I'll go with you. I said, first off, Number one, we do not discuss what I do with the podcast. We do not discuss how much I have played. We do not discuss. It just sets a weird tone if we jump in with that. So I'm just here for the ride. And any questions you have afterwards about your experience, I can help you through that.
Yeah.
So we went to several stores and just found that like the local stores for them didn't really fit. So then I ended up helping foster a home game that I am a player in for those people. Now that said, an Epic, that is something you absolutely like. My home game, like if this was happening like super close, we're there. Like instead of our monthly session, that's what we're going to do because yeah. You're a part of something so much larger. And I love being in a mall and like, especially if you're yelling wall.
Yeah.
The assumption of the people just thinking you're yelling mall and you're just like, man, these people are very excited to be here in this mall right now. And I'm not sure why they're chanting mall.
There were a lot of confused mall patrons that day. Just sitting there like running my game and like looking up every once in a while and seeing these people just like staring at us as they're walking by. It was a good time.
Wow, that's awesome. But yeah, having your group go to something larger like this, I think is like a really, really fun way to like bond your group because you are quite literally a part of something larger than yourself when going to an event like this.
Totally. So the next question, Andy, is what are the pros and cons of doing an event like this at this scale? I know you'd been part of some events previously, like you've been to conventions, you've done some event stuff yourself with your store leading up to this, right? But yeah, nothing to this scale. So yeah, tell us about what pros and cons you think people should know about.
Yeah, so let's do the cons first, because I like to hear the bad side first. First off, you are in a huge public area with a lot of other people. If you don't do well in large groups with a lot of chaos, if a convention kind of scene energy is not really your vibe, that's definitely something to keep in mind. Also, communication, depending on how well the event is run, communication and organization absolutely plays a huge part in how everything is received. Now, we had great DMs and we had good systems in place and we had good generals, but we really struggled with our audio presentation on it, which is something we're triple revamping for this next one. But there was a lot of people in the mall who couldn't hear the head dungeon master, Dax, from Dungeon Master Direct. He would get on the stage and he would give speeches or updates on the war on the stage. And a lot of people would miss his announcements. So then we would have to send runners out. We'd have to send generals out to spread the information. So the information did get there, but that was a failing on our part on that. So if you don't have good organization or good communication, things fall apart pretty quick. Public space is definitely, for some people, a big minus. However, I think the pros are amazing. We talked about being part of something much bigger than you can just at your own space. And that's so much the case with this. You really do feel like you share this amazing experience with so many other people and you can relate to them and you can talk to them afterwards and be like, hey, you guys were the cavalry. What happened in the cavalry? And you'll see how the cavalry affects you throughout the game. And while you'll still be playing with your friends at that table, so it's still very much classic D&D at your table, you have such an amazing shared experience. For me to be able to walk around and see how many different tables were having fun and that energy that everybody brought. There's people who are dressing up and there's dungeon masters who had brought some amazing set piece looking tables. Just to be able to nerd out with so many other people is so fun. And a lot of people do like conventions for that reason, because you get to be with other like-minded, fellow-spirited people. You're going to be able to do something that you'll never really be able to capture in a home game, which is to be part of an army. And Dungeon Masters, we can run war scenarios and we can give you that fantasy. That's a great thing we can do as Dungeon Masters, but you'll never have a chance to play with 1,000 other players, Yeah, you just can't do that. So those are some of the pros, as well as just to be able to see what other people are doing. If I'm a dungeon master and I can walk by 200 other dungeon masters and I can see what they're doing, you better believe like that's going to excite me and amp me up and give me inspiration. If I see other players and I'm like, holy cow, that player dressed up, he looks so cool, and that's going to inspire me more. And so, like, even if you've only played D&D like a few times and then you come to this event, just imagine like the fire, that the energy it's going to give you to be like, whoa, I didn't realize how cool TTRPGs could be until I saw it on this grand scale. And that's something you won't be able to capture at your home game.
It's super important because you can get, I mean, you're potentially actually in a silo. For all I know, I don't know where you play D&D. It may literally be in a silo, but like the conceptual cool. silo that is also like your group. Like, it's so insular, like, because, and oftentimes as a dungeon master, and it's one of the reasons like this podcast started, is you don't get to have a lot of people to talk to, because the main people you would want to talk to about D&D are your players. There's just a general limitation on the amount of information that you can discuss with them, because then it kind of defeats the whole purpose of the game. So to have that many people to see, I can also imagine the number of instances that happen where you're walking through and you're like, oh my gosh, well, hey, so-and-so, like, from this place, you know, we used to work together, or, you know, we went to school together. I didn't know you loved D&D. Oh, yeah, I love D&D. I've been playing for years at home, and, like, having, like, reconnecting, revitalizing, like you said, because you're just with the same people all the time, like, getting that fire back in you by going to an event like this, I think is, like, the other key thing I would think about for, like, going myself or bringing people with me to be, like, or bringing someone that doesn't know, like, that has, like, a lesser... I mean, I'll just say it the way it is. Just has a lesser view on the TTRPG space because they haven't seen this at that scale. To say like, no, this isn't just like a fun little thing that I do with the five people you think I know. There's literally thousands of people willing to do it at the same time right over here in this mall. So yeah, it's taken over.
There are dozens of us.
Yeah, this mall is ours.
It's so cool to see people wear the shirts, and like I see people still wearing the shirts from the event, and to go up and be like, whoa, hey, you went to that event, and to immediately connect with them. Like, hey, you are a nerd just like me, and we have a common ground, a common interest. And so even far after this event, I'm still connecting with people, which is so cool.
Yeah. If you see someone wearing a cool shirt, tell them. I do it now all the time. And like, it's awkward probably 10% of the time, but the other 90, like, they're just over the moon that I mentioned it. So just do that. I mean, because they wore it. It's a sense of themselves. So yeah, if you see a shirt and like a shirt, say something. It is simple as, hey, that's an awesome shirt. And then I just go on with my life. And I know I made their day a little better, and it made my day a little better because I did enjoy their shirt. Don't talk to strangers, though. I guess, I don't know. I just gave a real mixed message. I'm sorry.
I think that's a good life lesson.
It's a great way to make friends, even just like temporary friends. If ever I see someone wearing a D&D or a nerdy adjacent shirt that I like, I'll tell them. Or like a lot more lately, like you're seeing people with D20 tattoos or that kind of thing, like, you know, swords, or, you know, there's all sorts of nerdy tattoos showing up on people's forearms that are usually pretty visible. I'll always tell them I like it. There was a guy who served me food out of a drive-through window the other weekend who had a D20 tattoo. And I was like, hey, that's a sweet tattoo. And then he's like, yeah, this is my friend's podcast. And so I went out and looked up the podcast, free advertising. Anyway.
That is so cool.
Yeah, did he have the full-fledged, like if you see the ones where it's like the QR code or like the SoundCloud version where you just scan it with your phone? Okay.
It was just like a little logo.
Didn't go quite that far. Okay, good.
It was like a little logo. It was like half a D20 and then like a pirate skull or something similar.
Okay.
And so I recognized the shape. I was like, that's clearly a D20 shape. So, yeah.
I know we've touched on it before, but like, what do you feel like are the big lessons that someone can take away from like going to something like this? Because obviously you're engaging with people before, during, and after this process, and you know, I've certainly alluded to a lot of things that I think a person would gain from this, but like from your much more firsthand experience, what do you think people are taking away from going to an event like this?
I think it really demystifies TTRPGs to be able to see it on such a large scale. Usually, I think people are exposed to TTRPGs through streams, Critical Role, Dimension 20, through maybe seeing it being played in a game store. But a lot of, from an outside looking in perspective, seeing, you know, either high quality or that kind of stuff, it really makes you feel like, wow, TTRPGs are a huge deal and you got to know what you're doing and you got to know all the rules and stuff like that. And then to be able to see it on such a mass scale and to be able to see tables from some really amazing set pieces and everybody's dressed up and everybody's really into it, to seeing five teenagers at a table and they just have their papers and their pencils. And they, both the tables are having the same exact amount of fun. Like they're both cheering, they're both rolling, is to be able to show you just how different and how accepting and how universal this kind of game can be. You'll see tables full of dads and their kids, and you'll see a table of all girls, and you'll see a table of just so many different types and groups of people enjoying this. And I think that's really, like, that's just such a, and I never thought about it until, like, I was walking around. It was like, this game can really be for anyone. And when we're always seeing it played, like, in movies and with these big productions and stuff, it kind of puts up these walls, and being able to see it, like, no, anyone can enjoy it. It was magical. It's such a cool hobby.
The, you know, you have kids doing it, but I also know, like, the cruise I'm going on, another one of the DMs realized their average age of their table was 70.
Wow.
And they, like, mine's probably one of the ones I have is probably closer to 30 is like the average age. But yeah, I think, like you said, the media portrayal would have you believe that it's a game for probably like 13 to 30. Is kind of what I think. When in truth, it's more like 9 to 90. And there's always something there. That's what I've always said about this game. The game can be anything you want it to be because it's using your imagination. It can be as kind and fluffy and all of those things. It can also be the darkest, most terrible thing you've ever experienced. It all depends on the agreement and decisions of the people at the table. Like, that is one of the biggest benefits, and that's also why we always say here that not every table is for you. Not every table should be for you. But in the same breath, there is a table out there that is for you. But not every table is going to fit that mold because everybody's different.
Yeah. So, Andy, we've talked about last year's event. We've talked about a bunch of stuff that you learned and how awesome the experience was. So tell us about this year. You mentioned a little bit about how you're planning to let people print out packets and play all around the world to help influence the game. But yeah, tell us how this year is bigger and badder and better.
Boy, so I am so excited for this year's game. May 3rd and 4th, Friday and Saturday, we're running this event. Friday, we're going to gather an army to wage war. That's a tongue twister. We are battling against the Dark Prince. And Saturday we're battling against the Divine Prince. If you ever watch Star Wars and they have two battles going on at the same time, like on the Shield of Endor and up in space, that's kind of canonically what's happening. Friday's battle will be separate, but there will be ripple effects that will affect Saturday's game. And so you'll be able to watch the live stream Friday and be like, oh, I know some of the key pieces that are going to affect me on Saturday. And Saturday, you'll be able to, if you played Friday, you'll be able to watch and see how everything tied together. So it'll be really cool. So choose a day, Friday or Saturday. Do you want to fight against the Dark Prince or do you want to fight against the Divine Prince? Light and dark, we're very much trying to show the dichotomy between them two. So you'll be able to choose an army. Then you're sitting at a table with your friends. So it's just very much classic D&D with the people you know. Or if you don't have people who play D&D, this is a great event still because you can slot in at other tables and you'll be able to play with those groups. And there's tables for people who don't know each other. I mean, we have a Discord chat that you can join and find your table members and already start talking. We've already released player information, how to create your characters. And hopefully this game is not only a D&D game, but it is a Pathfinder game and a Daggerheart game. So if your group is playing Pathfinder or Daggerheart, you'll be able to play it at your table and be part of it. And so that's why this isn't the biggest D&D game ever played. This is the biggest TTRPG game ever played. We're taking what people love the most about their systems and bringing them all together.
Yeah, last year, my table, there were two friends, and then all the rest of the folks didn't know each other. They were all kind of like college student age, but it was a lot of fun because they all had fun together. People were helping each other out with their character sheets. So I had one of those tables that was kind of like all one-off people who wanted to join in. It was a ton of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, and it could be a perfect way for you to find that group that you want to play with and
totally
keep playing with. Or we got to be honest, it could also reestablish the reasons why you may not like certain play styles.
Yes.
You are going to learn something by going to this event, whether it be positive or negative. I can guarantee you will learn something about yourself.
I just forgot. The game is only half the event. In the morning, we're going to be running so many other things. You'll be able to go around and meet really cool people in the D&D space. We have the dude from One Shot Questers. We have Johnny Staton, who with his publishing company. We have...
We've got folks from Reckless Comedy, a YouTube channel. We've got Rob Hartley, the DM of Viva La Dirt League, which you will be familiar with if you've watched any of their other gaming content videos on YouTube.
But there's also going to be table vendor booths, all people who are selling D&D items. So this is really a TTRPG event. We're going to have panels and discussions on the stage before the game begins. So even if you aren't looking to roll dice, you can still come in during the day for free, because the paid ticket is only for the game. You can come during the day for free to just see what's going on, to sit down and play other tiny TTRPGs while we're waiting to play the game, to see so many cool people, so many cool vendors, and that is all free. So there's going to be so many cool things to do at the event besides the big game.
That's awesome. Again, all of that will be in the show notes. Okay, so we will circle back, though, for one of the more interesting things, because sometimes this is very easy part of this podcast. Sometimes this is the most difficult. But what are some pieces of homework we think we could give to the listeners to like better focus on the topic that we've discussed so far? And I'm trying to think of like pieces of media that like illustrate conventions and things like that. And I had a hard time.
I mean, Galaxy Quest ends at a convention, right?
True.
Doesn't really have anything to do with the convention.
I love Galaxy Quest.
One of the best Star Trek movies there ever was. Yeah.
Yes.
As far as consuming media, you mean technically Adventures League adventures are media. So I'm going to say go to your local con and play some AL games. Get a little feel for the kind of the event if you're unable to attend. Watch, you mentioned Lord of the Rings, right, Andy? You mentioned big scale battles. So watch your favorite fantasy movie with big scale battles. That kind of gives you a good feel for it, too.
The fantasy, the vision of being caught up in just a chaotic battle is what we're really trying to present and sell. And so, watching, I don't know, your favorite battles, Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings, has some amazing battle scenes that you can watch. But this is a very public game. So even if it's not my store, going and playing in a local game store is going to give you some really good experience, because how my players interact at home, at home I can lay on the floor while my dungeon master is describing the scene. That would be a little interesting to do at a game store. And so playing a game at your local game store can kind of give you an idea of what it's like to play in a public space.
Well, the other question is, where can people go to keep track of everything that's going on, to find these packets, to watch a live stream? What are the links on the old interwebs?
You can find us all under We Geek Together. We have a website, wegeektogether.org. That has everything about the event. It has how to register. It has how to find your player packets, your dungeon master packets. It will have everything you need to learn about the event. It also has all of our other social media links. We have YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We pretty much have it all under We Geek Together. We're posting constantly on all of those. And I've heard there are some secrets for those who are looking hard into the different posts and the comments and the post descriptions. So, yeah, you can watch Before the Dead Wars, which is everything leading up to the big game. And you'll be able to see all of the cool story, interaction, characters, and especially the villains before we have to go kill them May 3rd and 4th. And you can catch the live stream because we're going to be live streaming on Twitch and YouTube day of May 3rd and 4th. We have a huge media production. So even if you can't attend and you can't play, you can come and watch it and be and at least see what's going on.
And the goal is to make this an annual event. So if for whatever reason you live close or you want to attend something like this with your group or alone, but it's just too close to the event or the tickets are already sold out at this point, or, you know, whatever other reason, the plan is to do this indefinitely. So watch out for next year's event. I'm sure it'll be even bigger and even better.
Hopefully. That is the plan.
Perfect. Yeah, with that, I have very little doubt we'll have you back on, if nothing else, just to talk about how it went and then how the next one will be going.
I would love that.
As always, we just want to thank Andy for coming on, spending some time with us, talking about easily, I mean, per Guinness, the largest game that has ever happened and continuing to grow ever larger, digitally, in person, blowing minds, I am sure, confusing mall patrons. To say, if nothing else.
Yes, very, very many confused mall patrons. But if you are planning to be at that event, let us know. Let me know. DM Derek. I would love to meet up, say hi, snap a selfie, whatever it is you want to do.
Absolutely. And if you want to talk about your experience there or any large event that you've been to, you can always head over and email us at dungeonmastersblock@gmail.com. That's it.
I felt Dungeon Masters.
Yeah, it doesn't even feel right. DungeonMasterBlock@gmail.com or DungeonMastersBlock@gmail.com because I got them both now.
We really appreciate any iTunes reviews and Podchaser reviews and GoodPods reviews you throw our way. And as always, new reviews will be read on a subsequent episode.
And of course, we don't like Stitcher ones anymore because it's gone.
Womp womp.
And of course, if you head over to the social media platform formerly known as Twitter, you can follow us at @DMS_block. Of course, if you go to Instagram, if you go to any of the meta-based properties, Facebook, Instagram, or Threads, we're also there. We're also on Blue Sky. Sometimes it's hard to remember.
Too many platforms, not enough time. DM's Block is a proud member of the Block Party Podcast Network. You can check out other awesome Block Party Podcast Network shows like Dungeons and Dragons and Dungeons and Dragons and Daughters, who have recently started a brand new campaign, and more.
But as always, thank you for listening to the Dungeon Master's Block, the place where we come to talk about the Dungeon Master, the most important person in the game, the only person capable of playing gods,
killing characters,
and lowering the egos of everyone else at the table. Ooh, I'm DM Neil. Good night and good luck.
And I am DM Derek. Take care of yourselves. It's rough out there.
And as always, keep on dungeon mastering.
It's not inspiration, it's not wisdom, and it's bad advice.
I mean, technically, if you roll dice to do things in your life, aren't you really playing the biggest game ever?
Yeah, you are.
The most terrifying episode of Luther. And if you don't know what that is, you should check it out.
Goodbye.